ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're hearing Udvarkadam, we're hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the sixth canto, first chapter entitled The History of the Life of Ajamila. And today we have a double verse, text 28 and 29. I think just 28 is on the board, so we'll recite that. Sa Pasha Hastang Trin Trishtva Purushan Atidaranan Vakra Tundan Urdva Romna Atmanam Netum Agatan Sapasha Hashtang Strindrishtva Purushan Atidaranan Vakratundan Urdvaromna Atmanang Netum Agatan Sapasha Hashtang Strindrishtva Purushan Atidaranan Vakratundan Urdvaromna Atmanam Netum Agatan Sapasha Hastang Strindrishtva Purushan Atidaranan Vakratundan Urdvaromna Atmanam Netum Agatam. Please chant. Sapashan Prinjushtva Mushana Tidarana Pakratundan Udvaromna Atmanam Netum Agatam. Sapasha Hastang Strindrishtva Purushan Atidarana Vaishnavis. Sapasha Hastang Strindrishtva Anyone else? Okay, I'll read the second verse and then we'll do the translation. Dure kridana kasaktam putrang narayanatvayam plavitena surinochaya. Can barely see here.
Ajuhava kulendriyaha.
So, synonym, saha, that person, ajamila, pasha hastan, having ropes in their hands, trin, three, drishtva, seeing, purushan, persons, atidaranan, very fearful in their features, vaktartundan, with twisted faces, urdvaromnaha, with hair standing on the body, atmanam, the self, netum, to take away, agatan, arrived. Then the other synonyms I'll just read myself. Dure, a short distance away, kridanaka, asaptam, engage in his play, putram, his child, narayana,
Abhayam, named Narayana, Plavitena, with tearful eyes, Swarena, with his voice, Uchai, very loudly, Ajuhava, called, Akula Indriyaha, being full of anxiety. Srila Prabhupada's translation for these two verses, Ajamil then saw three awkward persons with deformed bodily features, fierce, twisted faces, and hair standing erect on their bodies. With ropes in their hands, they had come to take him away to the abode of Jamaraj. When he saw them, he was extremely bewildered, and because of attachment to his child who was playing a short distance away, Ajamil began to call him loudly by his name. Thus, with tears in his eyes, he somehow or other chanted the holy name of Narayana. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Actually, we should do the translation responsibly. Ajamil then saw three awkward persons with deformed bodily features, fierce, twisted faces, and hair standing erect on their bodies. With ropes in their hands, they had come to take him away to the abode of Jamaraj. When he saw them, he was extremely bewildered. And because of attachment to his child, who was playing a short distance away, Ajamil began to call him loudly by his name. Thus, with tears in his eyes, he somehow or other chanted the holy name of Narayana. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A person who performs sinful activities performs them with his body, mind, and words. Therefore, three order carriers from Yamaraj came to take Ajamil to Yamaraj's abode. Fortunately, even though he was referring to his son, Ajamil chanted the four syllables of the Harinam Narayana, and therefore the order carriers of Narayana, the Vishnu Dutas, also immediately arrived there. Because Ajamil was extremely afraid of the ropes of Jamaraj, he chanted the Lord's name with tearful eyes. Actually, however, he never meant to chant the holy name of Narayana. He meant to call his son. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shtarine Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivashakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindo, Dina Mando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namosate, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindabaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patita Nang Pavane Vyo Vaishyave Vyo Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this story of Ajamil is continuing to unfold. Even though death is upon him, that's not the end of the story. That's practically the beginning of the story. It's interesting, I was wondering, because it's been established that Ajamil at this point is 88 years old. He has a 5-year-old son, which means he fathered that boy when he was 83. Which is not recommended, generally speaking. Scientifically, they have established that from beyond 50 years, if a man fathers children, there's an increased risk of the child being born with some kind of defect, like Down syndrome, and especially is one of them. So it's not recommended after 50 that men should be siring children. But the thing that I was wondering about, if he's 83 at the point when he's siring this child, how old is the wife? I mean, she must have been no more than I would conjecture, no more than like 10 years younger, because if he saw her, he was in his 20s at that point. I think that was established, he was like a 20-year-old, early 20s, when he saw this woman and this man interacting. So she must have been at least past puberty, at least in her teens at that point, which would make her about, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 years younger than Ajamila at most. So 73-year-old woman giving birth to a child, I mean, that's kind of a little far out. Maybe they were just a lot more potent in those days. We know that as Kali Yuga progresses, and this obviously was a Kali Yuga, as we were discussing in one previous class, that if Ajamila was in his decrepit years at 88, that means it was Kali Yuga, because in that Yuga, life is generally around 100 years. Previous Yuga was like 1,000 years, the Dwapara Yuga. That's why Bhishmadev, for instance, he was like past 800. He was pretty old at the time of the Battle of Kurukshetra, which occurred just before the beginning of Kali Yuga. So let's say it was a previous Kali Yuga that Ajamila was in. So for a woman in this age to give birth in her 70s, that's... Now, nowadays, they're doing all kinds of scientific experimentation on the body, we know. Women in their 60s are giving birth, but not naturally. They take an embryo from another woman and they implant it in the 60-year-old womb, and somewhere or other it comes to term. But generally speaking, this is pretty far out that a woman in her 70s could be giving birth to a child. Nevertheless, the main point of this recitation of this history of Ajamila is to encourage us to stick to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Chanting of any name of the Lord. Here he was chanting, as Prabhupada said, the four-syllable name of the Lord, Narayana. Now, many people have a habit of making it three syllables, Narayan. But it's not Narayan. It's Narayana. Four syllables. We shouldn't get into this habit of dropping, you know, certain syllables just for expediency, I guess, or whatever. We should try to pronounce the name of the Lord as it is written. Because then it has more potency. Even though the name of the Lord is potent in any situation, it is even stated that if the syllables are separated, just like we know Krishna is two syllables, Krishna. So if you say Krish, and then you have a whole recitation, and you say Na at the end, it is taken that you chanted the name Krishna. So the Lord is very merciful in that way. But still, we should try to recite the names as they are written. One does not have to be a Sanskrit scholar to do that. Sanskrit, my understanding anyway, is very, very simple in terms of pronunciation. Maybe very complex in terms of grammar and other aspects. But in terms of pronunciation, it's very syllable. It's very simple. If the syllable has no diacritic mark, there's no long vowel, no long A, long I, long U, like that, then it's given equal stress. Not like in English. In English, we tend to stress the penultimate syllable. That's why we all say Rukmini instead of Rukmini. We tend to stress the second to last syllable. But in Sanskrit, there is no stress on any syllable unless there's a diacritic mark or like a long vowel. So it's, in this case, Narayana. Not long like that. Four syllables, and you stress, don't give any extra stress unless, again, there is a diacritic mark. So we should take that up. So this chanting has already been established in the Srimad Bhagavatam, going all the way back to the first canto, what to speak of the second canto, that chanting of the Lord's holy name is the way to make progress spiritually and to eventually get out of this entanglement that we're in. One verse that comes to mind is in the second canto, first chapter, text 11, I believe. Etan nirbidyamananam ichatam akutobayam yoginam nirpanir nitam harinama nakirtanam. So there, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit. That's why he says nirpa. Nirpa means king. He's speaking to King Parikshit. And he says, etan nirbidyamananam. Nirbidyamananam means someone who has no material desire. Ichatam, somebody who's full of material desire, wants everything. Gimme, 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 gimme. Etan nirbidyamananam ichatam akutobayam. Akutabaya means doubtless and fearless. No fear involved in this process. Yoginam. Yoginam means somebody who has become satisfied by following the yogic process, recommended yogic processes in the Vedas. So what Shukadeva Goswami is trying to impress upon Parikshit here is that this chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the doubtless and fearless way of success for everyone. Regardless of what camp you're in, regardless of what situation you're in, whether you're nirpanir nitam, you have no, whether you're
Ichchatam, you have all desire, or you have no desire, or you're completely satisfied by practicing yoga, still chant Hare Krishna, and you will become perfect, or even more perfect if you think you're already perfect. So, but of course we know Krishna has unlimited names. Once I was in the Potomac Temple, and some visitor came, and I said, hey, I've never seen you before. He said, yeah, I only come once in a while. I said, why? If you live far away, you know, not so far. I said, so why don't you come more often? He said, because you guys only chant one bhajan, Hare Krishna. I like different bhajans, so many different bhajans. And you only chant this one bhajan, Hare Krishna, so I don't come so often. So he's not understanding that this is the Maha Mantra. It's the best bhajan, the best mantra to chant. But we don't say you can't chant any other mantra. Even in our temples, sometimes we probably shouldn't do this, but because the arti means kirtan, which means Hare Krishna. After chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaurabhaktavrinda, then we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That's the standard for arti that Srila Prabhupada has established. At other times, you can chant so many other bhajans, but for the arti, it should be like that. Chant Hare Krishna. It's kind of a, a bit of a letdown that somebody comes, and many times people come from far away. They come for the 8 o'clock RT or the 6:30 or whatever, and we're chanting some other, but when they come to the RT, RT means standing up and greeting the Lord and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Any other time of day, you can sit down with the harmonium, chant any, so many bhajans are there, and they're all full of the names of the Lord. Just like in the morning, we chant Sri Nam Kirtan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us. So this song is full of so many holy names of the Lord. And every one of the Lord's names has significant meaning. So we should learn. We see Srila Prabhupada, even though he was the acharya for spreading the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world, he personally recorded so many bhajans full of holy names of the Lord. Just to give us an idea that this is very important to learn these bhajans. One of my favorites we don't chant here so often, Vibhavari Shesha, Aloka Prabhasha, Nidra Chari Uttajiva, Bolo Hari Hari Mukunda, Murari, Rama Krishna Hayagriva. So many names of Krishna are in that song. So we should try to learn all of these names of Krishna. We don't say only learn Krishna. No, Krishna has unlimited names because he performs unlimited pastimes. In the previous canto, we were hearing Lord Ananta, who's residing at the bottom of the universe, and he's constantly reciting the glories of the Lord. So many names of Krishna. So we should also do that. But we give particular stress to this Maha Mantra, because in this age, this is the recommended process, the Dharma for everyone, is to chant this holy name of the Lord. We're approaching now election, we're in election week, So many politicians are running around trying to get votes and making so many promises. And we don't get involved in the political process, rightfully so. I mean, in this country, it is stressed that religious organizations should not favor any candidate over another. We don't. We're not in favor of the donkey party or the elephant party. We don't care whether there's a donkey in the White House or another. We don't care. What we say is that the citizens should be educated into what constitutes a real leader. Now, the economy is foremost in everybody's mind. Economy is falling apart. So many people have lost their jobs. What are you going to do about it? Let's kick out all the incumbents and replace them. With what? Who are you going to replace them with? Another bunch of foolish personalities who don't know how to even write the economy. Because they don't know that artha, economic development, comes after dharma. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So if you don't have dharma, you're not going to get any artha. You're not going to get it. Superficially, it may seem for some time that you're flying high, you know, economically, but it all comes crashing down because it's based on nothing. It's based on paper economy. There's nothing there. There's no substance. So the people have to be educated into these realities. We're not even talking the highest spiritual culture here. We're talking just the realities. Like this morning, Prabhupada was saying, you can't have peace and prosperity without brahminical culture. It's not possible. If you don't have brahminical culture, which includes cow protection, then you're not going to have any peace and prosperity. So it's just a waste of time, all this running around, you know, promising this and that and shaking the trees, trying to get votes here and there. They're not going to get anywhere because they don't know the first step, dharma. If there is no real dharma, then you're not going to get artha. And dharma in this age means
Sankirtan. Sankirtan Yagya. Without Sankirtan Yagya, there is no Dharma. What Dharma are you talking about? There are still a lot of people talking about Dharma and this Samaj and that Samaj. Without Sankirtan Yagya, there is no Dharma. There is no question of Dharma. So, this we have to convince people of. When we go out and distribute books, this is what we're doing. We're educating the population. When Prabhupada was here on the planet, there were some devotees who wanted to get involved in politics. And Prabhupada did not discourage them, but he said, what are you going to do? Even if somehow or other you make it to the White House, you know, as soon as you open your mouth and tell people no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat, they're going to drag you and kick you out. They're going to drag you and kick you out. I've told this story many, a couple of times, but I've always remembered when I was in Switzerland once, I ran into Bhakti Tirthamar, just unexpectedly. I didn't know he was going to be there. He didn't know I was going to be there. And then we took a side trip into France. We went to Dole. A nice devotee community was there at the time. And then we went to New Mayapur. So on the way back, he was in a bit of a hurry because he had to go to Geneva to see somebody at the UN. So we were discussing. I said, who is this person? He said, actually, he's a very highly placed person in the UN. He is an African person, but he's very highly placed. I think at that time he was in charge of the labor relations arm of the UN. And he was very interested in Krishna consciousness. And he told Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj once, he said, he told him, I said, I like you people so much. I like your food. I like your chanting. I like your philosophy. You're all nice people. I like you all. But I couldn't figure out for a long time why many of my colleagues don't like you. Many of my colleagues in the UN and other political institutions, they don't like the Hare Krishna movement. He said, I couldn't figure it out. And then he said, finally one day it dawned on me. These people don't like you because you're bad for business. You're bad for business. First thing you say is, no meat eating. That's big business. Meat is big business all over the world. Then you say, no intoxication. Intoxication is huge business all over the world. Whether legal or illegal. Big business. And then, no illicit sex. Come on. He said, come on. That's big business all over the world. No gambling. Forget it. He said, now it finally dawned on me. This is why my colleagues and so many other politicians don't like you people. You are bad for business. But what they're not understanding is they're in the business of politics. And if you promote these things, which are the pillars of sinful life, then it's going to come crashing down. Your country, your economy, it's all going to come crashing down. It's not going to stand. Because when you erect a house on shaky pillars, you can't expect it's going to stand. A little puff of breeze comes along and the whole thing comes crashing down. So this is the beginning of real, even political knowledge. Even real politics has to start with understanding these basic concepts, these basic principles. If you create pain and suffering in the world by slaughtering the bull and the cow, as was being mentioned this morning in that passage that I read, then without fail, due to the laws of karma, you're going to have misery visited upon you repeatedly. And this is going on in Iraq, Afghanistan, right here in the United States. So many people die every year from gunshots. It's just inevitable. If you slaughter your mother and your father in the form of the bull and the cow, you're going to suffer like anything. So they have no real knowledge. We have a very, very tough task ahead of us because Kali Yuga is not getting any better. It gets worse as time progresses, to convince at least a small segment of the population that it is very important to follow the Sankirtan Yoga, the Yuga Dharma, to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in this way, this is the only way, not only for salvation, for going back to Godhead, but for peaceful and prosperous life on this planet. You're not going to have it. So all this political machination that's going on, all this running around and, I'm the greatest and I'm going to give you jobs and this, and it's all bogus. It's not standing on anything. And we don't care, again, whether it's this party or that party, whether it's independent or Republican, Democrat. We're not promoting any particular party. We are promoting the Sankirtan Yagya. We're promoting the Yuga Dharma. That's what we're promoting. And we're saying, as Prabhupada said, to that Lieutenant Mosey, when they had this discussion, crime, why and what to do. Prabhupada said, if the government would just back us to spread this chanting of Hare Krishna, to spread this distribution of prasadam, then all of these problems would be solved. Now to the average person out there, this sounds like this is just some simplistic, you know. But it's a fact. Because ultimately, you're not in control. And those who are ultimately in control, the demigods at one level and then ultimately Krishna, they will make it happen. If you follow the prescribed rules and regulations, if you follow the prescribed Yuga Dharma, then they will adjust everything. They will adjust everything. Otherwise, there's no hope. There's no hope. And we've seen, those of us who are getting on in years, you know, 50s, 60s, we've seen how things have deteriorated. How the general populace has become worse. They're just totally absorbed in the grossest kinds of sense gratification. And therefore their brains are gone. They have no brains. Even those who some or other manage to regurgitate whatever they have heard and get a degree, they come out and they're still foolish. They're still foolish. They have to run around with a degree in hand begging for a job, as Prabhupada said. This is dog society. Dog runs around begging for a master. A real a Brahmana doesn't beg for anything. Doesn't work for anyone. If he cannot make his livelihood directly as a Brahmana, then he can take on the role of a Kshatriya or even as a Vaishya. But never a Shudra. Never to go and just work for somebody and get some money. This is Shudra activity. So at least certain segment of the society has to be brahminically trained. So they don't care whether somebody is giving them a salary or not. So they don't have to kiss up to anybody. That's the whole point. If you take a salary, inevitably you have to kiss up or you get fired. If you don't kiss up to the boss, especially when the economy is bad like this and jobs are scarce, you're going to get kicked out because they know they can hire somebody in an instant. They can find so many replacements. So it's a very, very tough time. Very, very tough time that we're living in. And the only hope is the Sankirtan movement. So we need to take it very seriously ourselves. Chant these holy names, following, that's the other point made in that verse, Yoginam Nirnitam, Harinama Anukirtanam. Not just at your own whim, because there are a lot of people out there now chanting Hare Krishna, chanting so many so-called bhajans and kirtan, very popular, but they're not following any authority, and therefore there's no potency there. There's no potency, ultimately. Yeah, you may get a few people excited and jumping up and down and whatnot, but then they go back and smoke their cigarette and drink their wine and, you know, like stuff. There's no real change of heart, because they're not following the authority. So we have to always be very careful to follow authority. Otherwise, we don't have any potency either. Prabhupada used to say, nice Bengali proverb, Bhajan kora sadhan kora mortya jangli hai. And what that means is, there is a particular way that's recommended by the acharya to do things. If you don't follow, then yeah, you're free to do that, but you will be tested at the time of death. The success of your bhajan, the success of your sadhana will be tested at the time of death. So the safe way is to follow the acharyas. Whatever Srila Prabhupada said, we follow. And those who want to deviate and do it some other way, they're free. But they will be tested at the time of death. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Jyotha Karma Prabhu?
You mentioned that, you know, like civilization that's doing all these sinful activities, is it going to stand, is it going to collapse? But we see it's actually not collapsing. So, some people might say that's because of all the preaching that's going on. I mean, they deserve to collapse. But because so many people are getting a Gyata Sukriti because of all the festivals, all the millions of books that are being distributed, hearing the holy name, getting prasadam, whatever, they're being given a reprieve. So could you say, like, our preaching is counterproductive? Or
Kali Yuga will take its course. Kali Yuga will take its course for sure. And we heard also on Sunday, Prabhupada gave a little bit preview from the 12th canto, how the government is going to harass people. They won't get nutrition. It will be very hard for them to find sufficient food. And on the other hand, they'll be taxed to the bone. And therefore, gacchanti girikananam, they'll run away to the hills and forests. So that's the ultimate end for Kali Yuga. But in the meantime, as long as we're here and we have some strength in our body, we should try, you know, because as stated in many places actually, one should not worry about the result of preaching. On the order of the spiritual master, one should go out and preach. And follow, first of all. Follow, first of all, strictly. One of the offenses to holy name is to
to disobey the order of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master ordered, first of all, make your life perfect by chanting Hare Krishna, following the rules and regulations, and then go out and try to save as many people as possible. So that we should do. And don't worry about the result. The result is up to Krishna. Now, quite often, because we're dealing again with spiritual matters, you may not see so much result immediately. Just like Srila Prabhupada in his own case. He was preaching for a few years and never didn't see anything, practically nothing to show for it. And all of a sudden, boom, there was an explosion of Krishna consciousness. So similarly, on a broader scale, we can assume that's going to happen. Because we're not dealing with just one lifetime. We're dealing with a continuum. There was a case here on the West Coast, some of you may be familiar, where this Muslim person had been coming to, I think the center was in Oregon at that time. So he was coming, I think he was, I believe, a cab driver. He was coming, he was a young man with wife and a few children. And he was Muslim. And coming to the temple. And one day he didn't show up anymore. The devotees discovered that he had died. So they passed the news to Srila Prabhupada. And they were wondering, why would Krishna do that? Here is a young man, you know, interested in coming from a Muslim background. Why would Krishna take him? And Prabhupada said, if I remember correctly, I'm paraphrasing, that it would have been difficult for him in this life because of his background and the family connection. Therefore, Krishna arranged for him to get out of that situation. So it's a long-term thing. It's not that if you don't make it in this life, that's it. Or if we don't see a lot of people coming in this life. No, it's so many seeds are planted that are going to fructify. And there's going to be an explosion of people coming to the temple to see Omkar's particular crown or turban that he makes for Dwarkadish. And I'm not saying that idly. Last night I had a dream where, you know, I'm kind of afraid. I've dressed deities in other temples. But I'm a little bit afraid to dress, try to dress the deities here. So last night I had a dream. I took it that Krishna was encouraging me. I was on the altar watching the devotees running around and dressing and doing this. And Omkar was one of them. And it just... And then at the end of the dream, Prabhupada was there and he was stressing, yes, you must do this, you must do this. And he was talking directly to Omkar, and Omkar was getting closer to Prabhupada, right in his face, and Prabhupada started laughing. So many people will be coming because, and it already is happening. When I was in San Diego, many of you know Devaki Nandandas. He was in high school, he was just coming for the very first time. His father dropped him off at the Sunday feast. He asked him, are you sure you want to go? Yeah. So he came, and in no time he became a devotee. And then one day his mother came. His parents were separated, so she came by herself. First time ever in a Hare Krishna temple. And the first thing she said when she walked through the doors, they are so beautiful. Immediate appreciation of the deities. So it will happen. We don't know how, when, where, but everybody, so many seeds are planted and they will come. Okay, I think we're a little over time, but Mukundan had the mic for a while. So, yes, you wanted to say something? 1 second. He had the microphone.
Prabhupada mentions in the purport that these three Yamadutas came. One represented the body, one represented the mind, one represented the words. So are we to understand that that's a standard feature for everyone who dies?
I was wondering about that also, because even in our own paintings and by word of mouth descriptions, it seems sometimes there are many more than three. Generally speaking, they say there's like a whole family of the Yamadutas that come. Sometimes they bring their not-so-nice pets, some very nasty-looking dogs that are just waiting to rip the person apart. So, yeah, I've wondered about that also. Why three in this particular case? And Prabhupada says body, mind, and words. But it seems that the normal experience that people have with Yamadutas, there are more than three. And they kind of hang around before the person is finally ready to go and they, you know, put the fear of God in them, so to speak. Yes, sir, you had a question?
I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Padmanabhan. I am from India, Bangalore. And I regularly visit this Hare Krishna temple in Bangalore. Okay? I just wanted to ask you a question because I have not heard your full lecture, but I've been coming here for the last 20, 30 days. But I was attracted for two things, Krishna, Lord Krishna, and the nice things going on here. See, you just talked about Krishna consciousness. And I feel that the devotees or the trustees of all these Krishna conscious temples or the organization must be a role model for others to follow, because we want more following. I also feel more following. Charity starts at home. I'm sorry to say, between the Bangalore authorities of Hare Krishna temple and Mumbai authorities of the Hare Krishna temple, there is an open conflict going on about who should own Bangalore temple. See, this is also coming in the press, but we talk about nice things and we want everybody to, devotee or the people who are trying to join the this movement, to follow nice things. Can you please explain why this is not reflected in the actions of the place where the Krishna consciousness is propagated?
Hare Krishna, very good question. Two things. That Bangalore situation is a very long history. We can talk personally. I can give you some insight into it if you like. But one thing we should always remember when we're dealing with devotees of the Lord is that devotees are in different stages. There's the beginning stage, the middle stage, and the topmost stage. So quite often we're dealing with devotees in the beginning stage, and we try to judge the whole organization based on that. But we should be a little bit careful, because it's like any organization. When you take somebody out, let's say the military, maybe you were in the military yourself at some point, you take somebody out as a raw recruit, what do they know? They've been training. They're in training. So you cannot judge the entire military organization based on being a trainee. Understand? So sometimes you meet somebody who's in the beginning stage, and they may not be the topmost example of what is the highest stage. So we have to give time. When somebody joins an organization, be it the military or the Krishna consciousness movement, give them time. They will mature. It's like looking at a green mango and a ripe mango. You cannot, you know, vilify the mango tree because, hey, you've produced a green mango. What is this? No. Give it time and that green mango will become ripe and sweet. So sometimes you're dealing with the green mango and experience may not be the best, but give it time or try to approach somebody who's on a little higher platform. Now, that particular situation you mentioned, Bangalore, it's a very long history and it's an ongoing situation. I can personally discuss with you if you like. It's not something we should maybe go into here, especially since we're over time. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Grantarashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.